Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though user profile error is just Windows' way of saying it's lonely on Valentine's Day, Battleborn Tech is here for all of you every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1 and streaming on knvc.org. Wondering if Hex 2764 is enough for your sweetie, or if you need some sparkles with Hex 1F496? Call Battleborn Tech 775-241-3571. If you heart tech, the numbers are 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those in the host and callers. This week, we welcome Bill, Haley, and Steven. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Core. KNVC provides a broadcast layer. Computer Core brings a server. Battleborn Tech is the user experience.
We've got three phone calls today. Well, like usual. And I guess it's lonely hearts reaching out this Valentine's Day just to find a tenuous connection that they can hang their hopes upon the hook of tech knowledge right here at Battleborn Tech.
Speaking of hopeful tech, I got to come in with Anthony. Good old Anthony was quick to point out that last week when I talked about whatever I mumbled about memory and even numbers or something, should have been memory should be in powers of two, not whatever I mumbled. So two sticks, minimum of 8 gigs would be 2 sticks of 4 for 8, 2 8-gigabytes for 16, 2 16s for 32, and after that you start mortgaging the house. But so look for 8, 16, 32 divided between 2 sticks. Powers of two is for your best bang for the buck and speed on memory.
Oh yeah, and make sure they match, definitely. It's hard to get memory sticks that don't match anymore, but well, like I said before, we've got three phone calls. And before we get there, I just want to say, if you're doing any international travel, or let's say you are involved with either protesting or an immigrant or a politician or a journalist, learn how to put your iPhone in lockdown mode. It prevents scurrilous actors from just aiming your own phone at your face and getting into your phone that way, even if you don't want them to. How many of us are at risk now? I don't know. But let's find out from Bill if we have to bookmark any of this right there on the desktop.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
I got a question about how to set a bookmark for a website I'm trying to keep. And I wanted to try to set the bookmark on my desktop if I can.
Okay. Okay. Well, there's for those who want to do that, there's also a whole sort of manage bookmarks. You can do that. You can export your bookmarks. And that used to be a huge deal. But now pretty much all the major browsers let you save it to your account, whether it's Firefox or Chrome or something. But if you are just wanting to save it to your you can copy the URL, you know, up there in the top space that says where you're at.
Right.
And if it's a good day, I'm trying right now and it's not. Oh, there it goes. It'll let you drag it. If you just highlight the whole mess of HTTPS, voice.google, whatever you're doing. I'm looking at voice right okay. now. Highlight all that and then left click and hold and drag. So click and hold and drag it. You can drag it right to the desktop and it would be a shortcut for you. So highlight the thing, left click and drag it over, highlight it, left click, hold and drag to the desktop, and it'll be there for you. You can also do, you can build one up. You can do the, it's a little
got
harder.
It.
You can do it by doing a new, clicking anywhere empty on the desktop, new, and that gives you options. You can do a new shortcut, and then you can just copy and paste whatever you want, a website there, and say next, and then call it a different name like super website or whatever you're going to do. Finish it, and boom, that'll put it up there as well.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I got it on the desktop. Thanks. That was a lot easier than I thought.
You know, it's, everything's easier if you know how to do it. But if you don't, there's no clue. All right. Hey, thanks for calling Battleborn Tech, and happy clicking on your bookmarks.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Well, you know, everything's easy when you know how to do it. And one of the and it's not really Bill's fault. I think ever since Windows 8, they went crazy nuts on Windows 8 trying to keep everything off the desktop. In fact, you had to sort of do some contortions just to see the desktop in Windows 8. And ever since, they make it harder and harder to put things up there. They, I don't know what they want you to do. They want to use that start menu used to be called the Metro interface that moves tile law around and all this stuff, and pretty much abandoned that. But still, it's harder and harder to just throw everything on the desktop. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, but it's good to know that you can still do it either ways we talked to with Bill, and no shame if you got your desktop full of bookmarks. No shame at all. I do want to talk about other stuff that came out. One of the things that no shame is Notepad++ that says, hey, it wasn't us, but they got some malware in their update channel. This is a new thing. You know, you click and it says, hey, this program has an update. Would you like to update? And you almost always say yes, because you don't want to miss out on anything, or there might have been a problem that was fixed. So one of the things that was updated a lot was good old Notepad++. That's two plus signs after. And that guy, he just went update crazy. He's always updating. And some national actors, China, that decided that that'd be a good way to get some of their malware on the people they were aiming for. And so they compromised the update server, not the actual Notepad++ program, so that when Notepad++ submitted this program to the updater to send out updates, there is a little extra package in it of malware. So if you got Notepad++, you want to uninstall it and either reinstall the latest version, 8.8.9 or higher, 8.9.1 is the current, or maybe take a look at something else, Notepad built in, or even Ultra Edit.
And I want to emphasize that this isn't Notepad that's included with your Windows operating system. This is an independent little bit of a text editing software not associated with Microsoft Windows.
Now, Notepad++ is kind of a favorite of programmers because it does a lot of formatting for them. So you're kind of next door on the geeky side if you looked it down and using it. And it also colors the tags and helps you keep track of things. But yeah, it's definitely not Notepad. In fact, if you're using Notepad, just go right ahead and use that.
Here's another phone call from Haley. And Haley's projecting, it seems. So let's see what we do to fix Haley's issue.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Christy, this is Hallie, and I'm calling with a problem.
Good. I hope it's technical.
It is. It is
good.
Technical.
Good. We got a higher probability of success with those. Go ahead. What's going on?
For sure. So I have these two old projectors, and I don't mean to say old. They're just not new tech projectors.
Okay.
And they are fabulous projectors. And I have a new laptop because, you know, the old ones don't work. You know, the old projectors will work, but the old laptop won't work. And I can't connect them. The connections don't match. I can't make a cable run from one to the other. And we've got graduation coming up. I need to show a video.
Oh, no.
Can you help me out?
Yeah, probably. When we're saying projector old, we're talking, what are we talking? 5 years, 10 years? What? We don't know.
Gosh, I don't know. Maybe 10 years, because you know what? I recognize these cables from the old printer days when they had all those, they got the little spikes and they got the little screws on the sides. You know, I don't know what they're called, but there you go.
Okay. Well, most likely VGA has been around for a long time, and it was three rows of holes or spikes, depending which side of the cable you had, plugging into holes or the cable had spikes. And it was usually blue. Is that thinking?
That's that. Yep, you're describing that, and that VGA sounds very familiar. So you are describing the part that goes into the projector, and I've got a cable that's got that on it, but the other end of the cable also has spikes and screws, and my laptop doesn't have that.
Right, yeah. A lot of the VGAs have pretty much finally moved on. They moved on to either HDMI or DisplayPort. Most laptops have gone to the popular one, which is DisplayPort, while your tower computers, your bigger computers, often have what's called DisplayPort, which is the better but less popular connection. So HDMI, is there one on a laptop? Kind of looks like what you plug into a TV, sort of a trapezoid with a rectangle, but with the bottom corners crushed.
It's like a rectangle with two corners cut off of it.
Display has one, HDMI has two. And you probably recognize that HDMI from a connection from your TV or Roku or Amazon or whatever you got. It looks like that. Okay.
Yeah.
What you need is, a good thing is on conversion. Now, people will sell you anything, but, it's more complicated and expensive to go dumb to smart than smart to dumb. So now the VGA is dumb. It's an old analog thing, and the HDMI is smart. So, you're good there, because the smart's coming out of the computer and you want dumb into the projector. That's a cable, can do that, even though it goes from digital to analog, which is probably something you don't care about. But what do you want to look for? what do you want to look for? You're looking for a converter, and you got to make sure you get the right direction. Most of these converters are just one direction, and you want to go HDMI to VGA. And those are available. You get those at maybe a big box store, definitely online, maybe a computer shop would have HDMI to VGA. You plug that in and to your HDMI in your computer, and on the other end of the unit, there's a VGA female, and you plug in the original VGA cable, and you should be good to go. I do have one caution, though. Sound comes out of HDMI, but it doesn't come out of VGA. But you didn't have that before, so the laptop might shoot the sound out the HDMI, and then it would go nowhere. It might be crazy. You're going to have to fool with the sound. If you're doing sound with that presentation, you're going to have to get another way out and make sure that the laptop knows, don't send the sound out HDMI because it goes to VGA and then no sound. But send the sound out through some other port. A USB connection would be great.
That makes sense. You know, there's a tiny hole on the laptop that looks like it's got a headphone.
Yeah.
It looks like a headphone jack, like the old headphone jack, only it's really little.
Yeah, you can use that. You can use that quarter inch. They're still around. You can use that, plug it in. But, again, you got to check and make sure that whatever program you're using or the computer is using that headphone jack and not using HDMI.
Okay, so I need to go in there to the settings and pay attention to what the settings are doing.
Yeah, or you can just be cowboy and just see if it works. And but if the sound doesn't work, that's why, because it's shooting out the HDMI. It doesn't know any better.
Okay, that makes total sense. You know, and thank you. You give me some words to describe it, because I've been trying to describe my problem to the IT guys, and they just don't get it, you know? They just don't get it. So now I know HDMI to VGA.
It helps to have a gray beard to figure out how to get old things working with new things. The youngster's saying, what now?
Right.
Hey, thanks for calling Battleborn Tech, and congratulations to the graduates.
Thank you, Crispy.
Thanks, Haley. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, the old new wine and old wineskins has been a problem since Bible times, putting those on that. One of the things there is a converter that is probably the simplest and best razor when you're going from USB-C to VGA. It's a straightforward conversion for that. However, you may also want to look at getting a dock. If you got a USB-C, it's got a little lightning bolt beside it. It is eligible to use a dock. And Joe, those docks have come a long way. They got their own power. They got their own display ports, even two or three of them. They got network cable you can plug in. I use mine for that. And USB ports, USB-A, USB-C, all you want there. And also, of course, you can plug in your projector to that and then just have one cable to plug into the notebook for everything else. So that's another option, is to use a dock on that, which have come a long way. For a while they were good, and then they were bad, and now they're good again.
I'm sort of stuck back in the my dock is bad. I just disconnected everything and just use it to run a third display.
It kind of worked, but with USB-C and the power that it has available, and also the throughput, bandwidth it has, is really making docks a thing to look at again.
Wow! Wait until they come out with USB 4. Whoo!
I think I'm just fine with the USB-C. Let's keep that away. I like it. You can flip it either way, and it figures out and connects either way. Which way they pay? No more plugging it in three times. You plug it in once, and away you go.
It's black magic, I tell you. Why did this plug in the third time when I couldn't plug it in the first time? So, ugh.
I heard something that those USB keys were actually a fourth dimension, and so you actually had to rotate it not only in three dimensions but into four, and that's why it took you extra time to put it in.
Because you had to rotate through time.
Exactly.
And speaking of rotating through time, here's Steven. And Steven's going to ask, hey, Am I not cool if I still use Windows 10? So let's see.
Or if time's up for Windows 10.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what we do for Steven.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Steven. I got a couple of questions. One has to do with Windows 10 when they stop updating it. And another question is when they stop updating it, is it going to affect any other computers on my network? Say I have a Windows 11 and a Windows 10, will it affect Windows 11 at all?
Okay. All right. Well, those are good ones. So the question about Windows 10 is what? No,
what's going to happen when they stop supporting it? It's like...
It's funny. It's not going to blow up or anything, but it's funny What's going to happen is nothing, and that's the problem. No more security updates for Windows 10. We're already past the end of life of Windows 10 there at, I think that's the official, back in October 14th of 2025, they quit doing the updates, so the November update's going to get there. However, a lot of people went ahead and got extended support. It's kind of hard not to if you use the Microsoft account backup or signed in with the Microsoft account just without backup. There used to be points and things. Anyhow, if you got extended support, ESU, that goes on for just short of a year, October 13th of this year, 2026. After that, there's no more updates for Windows users. So you say, what happens? Well, what happens is things stop happening. It's like a reverse. So there's no more updates. So, you leave your door unlocked or your car unlocked or whatever, you know, it depends on which neighborhood you drive in. There's somebody might, you know, do some mischief with your computer or your car because you don't no longer have the updates, the security patches, those sorts of things. Now, for our friends that have enterprise or education editions, businesses, schools, organizations that bought a whole bunch on the special license. Those continue on until 2028. So they are making security. Yeah, but you got to get – you will know if you have them. It's a – when you buy – when a corporation or a school system buys a whole bunch, they're a different kind of license. But for the most part, we're pretty much down to 26, so –
Yeah, I have a Microsoft account, and because of that, I got an extra year.
Right. Yeah. So it's closing on. And I want to tell everybody, it's not an extra year if you start today. It's till October of 2026.
Yeah. Right.
Now, when – so we don't – right now we say if you have 10, 11 on your network, probably there's not a whole lot of things that run around the network. There is some – nasties that go out and do the network. Mostly we see those in corporations and with domains and all sorts of shared accounts and stuff. But if you're just at home and everybody's got their own little Windows account and they're all just minding their own business, it's probably okay. Now, if you get, now if you got ransomware and you start in it, encrypt up your Windows 10, it could get to external drives that was connected to Windows 10. If you have a NAS or something, possibly that could get out there. And so you could sort of say that affects Windows 11, but probably not if you've shared something between them. But that's worst case, you know, and that's only if after there's been a breach and after something happens. We don't know what's going to happen after Windows 10. You're definitely on your own, according to Microsoft. You're on your own. Good luck, you know, after October. So if not, you know, hair on fire kind of thing. Maybe you want to think about keeping some of your stuff off your local network if you're sticking with 10. Or maybe you want to think, I'm going to go to Linux, or, I'm going to replace this computer, or I'm getting me an Apple Mac, or just going to move over to my 11 and retire my 10. Those are all good options.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, that's what I was curious about, because I didn't know if I had it. A 10, because I have two 11s and two 10s, and I got a Linux, and as long as I don't do any banking or anything on the 10s after the
and even now, some of the banks are checking, and if you don't have 11, they won't work. Your first line of defense is your browser. So as long as your browsers are being kept up to date, that's good. That's a good sign. I mean, that's a lot of help. Because that's where a lot of the temps are, but yeah, I think you're okay. We got some. I got a Windows 7 on my network. Don't tell anyone. Shh. Windows. Don't tell the hackers. Shh. I got a Windows 7 running because I got some programs that will only run under 32-bit Windows 7. So that's why they are there. So, okay. All right. Well, I think you're good to go. I think you should take an. It's okay if you, you know, think about, do I really need the 10 on the network? And also, do I really need Windows 10? Those are good questions between now and October to consider.
Okay.
All right.
What I've been trying to do is slowly but surely get a machine that runs 11 so that I can just migrate to 11 and forget about 10.
Yeah, that's probably a good plan. Or go on to some Linux. Do more of your Linux. All right. Hey, thanks for talking. And you know, usually you get expired date, you expect something to happen, you know, on that date. But what happens is nothing happens, and that's the problem. You don't there's a lot of nothing after on the other side of October. All right. Thanks a lot, Stephen. All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.
Well, if you're going with Windows 10, you're fine. Like I say, I'm still running Windows 7. Shh, don't tell Microsoft. And it's kind of like a best used by date. You kind of think, well, when does it expire? It's a best used by date, which means that in the October of this year, it's going to cut off any security updates. How long does it last? Well, did you leave it out in the sun? Did you put it in the refrigerator? You know, all sorts of, whatever happens after that, you really can't predict. So you're kind of out on your own. After October this year, if you got the extended service updates, unless you got the enterprise or educational thing, and you would know that because you're part of a corporation that will tell you that. But You could go on Windows 10. Getting away from banks, not doing anything on the, keeping off the internet would be good. You may even want to isolate it some from your network, if depending what you do. But probably the best thing is take a left turn over to Linux, or take bite the bullet and upgrade to a computer with Windows 11.
Well, Christy, I think that wraps for today. How about a little word of wisdom going out?
This has been Battleborn Tech. Call or text 775-241-3571 anytime from anywhere. Thanks to our callers this week, Bill, Haley, and Steven. Will you like to be like them? Leave a message at 775-241-3571 and give us a good window to call you back to record some tech help for a later show. 775-241-3571. For consulting and tutorials, visit your local neighborhood computer shop. Carson City's Library's Tech Busters every Monday at 3 p.m. Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help, midday on weekdays, or a computer user group like CarsonCityLinux.org, meeting third Saturdays at Computer Core in Carson City with forums open on the internet all the time, CarsonCityLinux.org. Theme music by Breakmaster Cylinder, theme music by Breakmaster Cylinder. That's break like a heart, not break like a bus you got thrown under this weekend. Without our engineer, Joe Bly, making you love the show like Cupid with a console. Produced by Christy Ramsey, offering couple therapy for people and their tech. Ex post facto checking by Anthony, the friend who slaps the phone from your hand before you approve a sketchy security prompt or text your ex. Notice some of our jokes are courtesy of ChatGPT. Get revenge for bot banter by not letting it use the EM dash until the next key rotation. Battleborn Tech reminder, KNVC is a community, nonprofit, volunteer radio station. No government funding, no corporate overlords, just people like you, keeping the lights on and the mics working. If you value that, visit knvc.org and click donate. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's questions with an S and T-E-C-H. Our latest links are at bbtl.ink/stats. Get the links you missed there. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at knvc.org in the local program section or bbtl.ink/shows. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNVC FM 95.1. Stay tuned for High Desert Music, locally sourced artist, broadcast with zero compression on the soul.
That's right. And Molly, Mike, and Elise do a great job highlighting and showcasing the incredible talent that is out there in Northern Nevada. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this.